Welcome to the Message Podcast from Life in Christ Fellowship in beautiful Newport, Vermont. Today's message is brought to you by our special guest, Pastor Todd Perna from Healing Grace Church in Brattleboro, Vermont. We hope that this message is encouraging to you and increases your faith in Christ. Enjoy.
You know, I have a message, and his name is Jesus. And he's healing people, and he's setting them free. In the last 2 days, we had a healing conference down in our way, and I don't know, I prayed for probably 15 people that actually had instantaneous, complete release of all the pain. And this is just a normal part of my life. I'm going to share with you how I got here a little bit, because you don't know me. I was a welder, building contractor. The last thing I would have ever been doing was this. I actually mocked the healing move. I would watch people on TV and go, I can't believe that people believe this stuff. I would laugh about it. And then one day, I heard that God was healing people, but not just healing people, but raising the dead today. And when I heard that he was raising the dead and that he was healing people, I said, God, I need to know you in this place. And we started to see him. I actually had eczema over 80% of my body, severe asthma. I was on the highest doses of steroids I could be on because of just the asthmatic issues. And I was a building contractor and a welding contractor. And everything caused asthmatic attacks. And I was like in misery. I was sleeping 2 hours a day. And I heard God was healing. And I said, well, if God is healing, I can be healed. Now, I didn't come to that by accident. When I was 28 years old, after growing up in the Baptist church, I was growing up in a Baptist church with good foundational realms of eternal life, of you know, the righteousness that comes from God, all that stuff. I had foundations in my head, but I didn't have experiential knowledge. And I led almost every one of my classmates to Jesus through grade school and through high school. All the ones that I knew, they would come to believe in Jesus. And I was like, you know, this is just a normal Christian life of sharing Jesus. But by the time I was 28, I had pretty much given up on trying to share with anybody. You know, kids were easy. They could receive. We have our kids in our church. They're the prayer team every other week because they come up and go, Jesus, would you come? And they pray for people. And we had two knees healed in the last couple months. We had another person's shoulder healed last week. And, you know, and they're just seeing the people get healed because they don't have an intimidation of, oh, you know, I had a rough day. I wasn't really seeking God enough this week. I'm not all. They just go, oh, cool. Jesus is in me. He just wants out. I want to declare to you that Jesus is in you and he just wants out. So we're going to pray right now. What I'm going to do is I'm going to welcome the Lord and the Holy Spirit on our hearts. We may have challenges within the realm of healing because we've been limited in receiving. We've maybe had walls that we built up. You know, we don't want to be disappointed oftentimes. Because, you know, if I get prayer and I don't get healed, well, maybe there's something wrong with me. And all of these things that we carry, God wants to be able to take down today. That sound good? And so if God healed me in this way, I want to just say that God wants to heal. He wants to deliver. He wants to. So it's not just healing. Sometimes it's deliverance. Sometimes we see people set free of real demonic influences, you know, that are ruling over them, keeping them from being able to be free. So as we start today, I just want to have us open up our hearts to the Lord. You know, I can bring nothing. I'm going to share a verse before I pray. And it's in 2 Corinthians. Chapter 2 in verse 4. I'm just going to read this one verse right now. It says, and my message, my preaching were not in persuasive words, but in the demonstration of the spirits of power, so that your faith might rest not in human wisdom, but in God's power. Unfortunately, in the church today, our faith is resting in a message that we've heard instead of the one we need to hear. And I want to say that what happens is in the disappointments, we get walls that are built around us. We build these walls in self-protection so that we don't have to feel rejection, so that we don't have to feel that we're missing some things. And these walls, they may feel safe at the time, but what they do is they block out the Holy Spirit. They block God from being able to come in because God is not going to force himself upon us. He holds his hand out to us when we're in distant from him, when we're in that place, and he says, come with me. You see, he never pushes. He doesn't drive you. He wants to lead us, but he cannot lead us with these walls around us. We need to let God open up these walls inside of us so that we can hear him, so that we can know him. And, you know, Jesus paid for all of our sins, right? We understand this. There's not one sin that Jesus hadn't paid for. 2,000 years ago, all of our sins were future sins. Kind of interesting, huh? They were all in the future. We tend to go, but I struggled yesterday. Yeah, but he died for them 2,000 years ago. And we get caught up in the day-to-day, in the struggles, and the strongholds of our lives, and the imaginations that keep us trapped. I just want to declare to you that Jesus Christ paid for us. He prayed for you. He took all of your sins, all of your past, all of your weakness upon himself. And what we're going to do is use that as a catalyst to help us to be able to receive. But the walls have to come down, and God won't force his way in there. He opens us up to saying, Lord, he says, I want to come in. And if anyone opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. So I believe there's some of the walls are being felt right now. So now, you know, don't worry about it. Just say, God, I don't know how to open the walls. That's your voice. You need to say, God, I don't know how to open up these walls. I don't know how to open up these things of self-protection, places where I built. But Lord Jesus, I ask you to open them. So I'm going to pray with you, and we're going to ask God to open up these doors so that we can receive from him freely. Amen? Lord Jesus, we love you. I thank you, Lord, for the worship this morning, opening up your presence into this place. I thank you for the anointing that is upon these worship leaders, Lord. I thank you for the anointing upon those that are worshiping in this room today to even allow your presence to be manifest. I thank you, Lord, for opening up that realm and that softness, that gentleness that you brought within worship. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here today, Lord, that I don't want to bring persuasive words of wisdom. I want to see the demonstration of your power through your spirit and through your goodness and through your love. Lord, there are those in the room who have walls that they built up. They don't even know, some of them, that they built up walls. But Lord, we have walls because of disappointment, discouragement, as it was brought out this morning. And Lord, we have these walls. And Lord, let's just pray it together. Say, Lord Jesus, I want to open myself to you to take down the walls. But Lord, do it in safety. Do it in protection that I can be free in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I don't want the message to be just another good message. I'm seeking the Lord when I come. I'm going, God, what do you want to do? What do you want to do with the ones that are here? How do you want to meet? So we started in prayer upstairs, and already there was releases of, people got released of pain just right as we started. This is a normal part of the Christian life if we understand. But our experience could be ruling over us to where we're not able to receive those things because, you know, when we've dealt with something for a long time, we can believe more in that affliction and that experience of affliction than we do believe in the one who actually wants to deliver us. So I grew up in a church that actually was cessationist. Are you familiar with cessationist doctrine? Cessationist doctrine is a doctrine that says the gifts of power, the power gifts, the power of God and the Holy Spirit is now set aside because we have the Bible. So we had a thing where we would worship the Father, Son, and the Holy Bible. I'm telling you, that's what it was. And yet we had the Spirit. We believe that we received the Spirit when we got born again, and we had the Spirit of God. And so I never experienced God in the healing realm. So I actually mocked the healing realm. We mock what we don't know of God. And so in growing in this realm, but I had this experience when I was 28 years old, when I was giving up on the Christian life. I was saying, God, I can't rededicate myself again. If I do, I'm a hypocrite. I believe that's for somebody here. You just walk through the motions. God, I'm going to try again. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to try to live for you this week. And every week I would do that, going to church, and finally I got worn out. I got so worn out, I finally said, God, if I rededicate myself again, I'm a hypocrite. Because, you know, I was walking through the cycle of trying to get myself right with God. And I believe there's some here that are still working to try to get right with God. I want to tell you, God wants to set you free of that trying. And so I said, God, I'm done with the Christian life. As I understood the Christian life, trying to be right, trying to rededicate. And I heard God's voice. And I don't know if it was audible, but I believe it was an audible voice of God. And he said to me, because I was taught that audible voices of God don't happen anymore. And I heard the voice of the Lord say, Todd, I love you right where you are. And immediately I had an experience of the love of God. And I was in a crisis time of life, and I said, Lord, but what am I to do? And he said, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness for you, because you have been seeking a righteousness of your own. And that word released into me an impartation of righteousness, that righteousness was the essence of who I was because of Jesus. And I knew righteousness immediately. Now, I needed to know, is this God? Because I didn't feel very righteous. And I had to go into the Word, and I went into the Word, and I studied the doctrine of righteousness and the truth of Scripture. And I studied for 3.5 years, I poured into understanding, is this really so? Any voice you hear, we have to test. It says, test every spirit to see whether it's from God. And so I tested that word over the period of 3.5 years. And in testing that word, I came to an understanding of the doctrine of righteousness, of justification by faith, of all of these essence of the truth of the grace of God and what he had already accomplished on my behalf. And God started to fill in the pieces. And you know, I can't give you a lot on that right now, But I understood righteousness, and I had to have an outlet of a flow of sharing with people. Because understand, adults weren't receiving Jesus like the kids were. And I had to have an outlet. So I went into prisons, and I got put in charge like the second week I was there. You're in charge, you're going to give the message. And I couldn't give a message. I could be a message. I could share what Jesus did. I could share the testimony of Jesus. And so I decided I'd do a Bible study in that group, and in 8 years, we saw more than 100 people come to know Jesus in the prison. Satanists came to believe in Jesus. They gave their lives to Christ, and Satanist priests, one of them, and we saw, people being set free. All the fighting in the prison was being stopped because of the truth of righteousness coming into the church, and I mean, the guards were giving us 3 hours a night working with these prisoners, and 3 hours to just minister and pour in, and people were being set free. And then, you know, I went on for about 12 years knowing righteousness, and that's when I started to become afflicted with the eczema and the asthma. And, you know, God was meeting my needs supernaturally through business. I was knowing him as the provider. But what happened was I was knowing him as the provider of how he met me in the past, but God wasn't meeting me anymore the way he used to meet me. And stress got turned inward, and that's what was causing the affliction of the eczema and the asthma. And so, you know, I didn't even think of myself as being stressed because I had met God in such a powerful way that he was my provider And he was meeting for us in a family of seven with five kids, you know, and he was meeting us in supernatural and tangible ways. And when I heard God was healing, I went down to a meeting and they were going to pray for the sick. And I go, I'm going to get healed tonight. This is the way it works. I just knew I would get healed. I had no doubt because I knew the grace of God and I knew healing was just another dimension of the grace of God. And so I knew that in the Word. Understand, the Word of God is living and active. And I knew it in the Word that I was righteous, and I knew that healing was also a provision of His work. And I know this church teaches this foundation. And so I went on to go down front to get prayer, and I heard the voice of God. Now, it was that still small voice, you know, that voice that you know it's not coming from you because there's no way you could think this. And I'm all excited. I'm going to go get healed. I was sleeping about 2 hours a day. Literally, I was in so much agony. I was in the doctor's office 2 to 3 times a week for the eczema. If I scratched, I'd bleed. 80% of my body was in scales. And I was walking down to get healed. And I'm super excited. I'm like, this is going to be my day. I'm going to get healed today. And the Lord says to me in that still small voice, Todd, I don't want you to seek me for healing tonight. And I'm like, Lord, I don't understand. I'm sleeping only a couple hours a day, and I know this is your provision. I know this is who you are. And he says, Todd, seek me in the area of trusting me in finance, and I will take care of those things. And I said, Lord, I'm trusting you more than anyone I know. And I was. But I was trusting him in the revelation I had met him in now 12 years before. And I said, Lord, I don't know how to trust you any deeper than I am, but I'm going to trust that you're going to teach me. I went down to get prayer over that issue, that I would trust him in finance. And I'm thinking, Lord, I already trust you in finance. I already believe in you in this place because my experience has proven your hand. And the next morning I got up, the scabs are coming off my body. Within 3 days, I had brand new skin. I've never had another asthmatic attack. And then I said, God, what do I do with this? He says, give it away. I said, okay, that's cool. That's going to be fun. So I started praying for people. The first year, I saw more than 100 people come get into healing. I saw MS be healed. Saw a person who was paralyzed from the waist down. She got healed. Got out of her wheelchair right on the spot, and she was completely healed. And 2 years later, they said came to her and said, we must have made a mistake because you don't have MS. See, they can't say she got healed because there's no cure for MS in their mind, but there is, and his name is Jesus. And some of the amazing miracles I saw during that time were just amazing in that 2 years. And then after 2 years of just seeing hundreds of people get healed, set free, we were commissioned into this work. And I don't say that lightly. I had to test the word. If you ever receive a word of the prophetic or whatever, it's your responsibility to test that word. See, I needed to first test the word, and the word was go and establish the church in the region. I'm like, at that point, I was kind of not really liking the church in a lot of ways. There was a lot of controls, a lot of manipulations. There was a lot of building things that I was really questioning whether God was building them. And I was in that place, and I was like, God, I don't even like the church. I don't think that God, you would send me to that. And then he says, but I knew the word was so big that there's no way I could do it. And if God ever gives you a word that is something that you can totally do without any challenge to you, you can question whether or not it's God. God will always send us into places that challenge us, that we know we need him. Amen? Because he wants us to know him. So we went, I had 3 different confirmations. We were sent into this work. I left everything day one. Everything. Yeah, we had I left all business, everything, and we were in full-time ministry day 2. And it was a supernatural release. We had no ministry supporting us, but God said, go. And we left. We left everything. That's a story. I'm not going to get too deep into that story. We could share that another time maybe. But I had to test the word. And the first time I tested the word was God was saying, he was telling us to go. The second time I needed to test the word was is this the timing and are we ready to go? Okay, and understand, I had to have direct confirmations. I made those confirmations impossible because I needed God to tell me this was it, not just a prophetic word from a prophet saying, go and do this, okay? So, and then the third word was to stand against the religious spirit when it came because I got hit so heavily by the religious spirit that I got attacked in the night we were about to be commissioned, and I was hit with three major afflictions upon my body. I was in absolute agony, and my wife and I prayed through those things, and it broke, and everyone would break in time, but I got very little sleep, and then we were commissioned into this work, and we left everything, and we've been in full-time ministry ever since. See, the truth is, I already believed I was in full-time ministry before I ever left the business world. I believed it so much that I would be welding on a dead-end road way down a path, and there was people that would drive down that road, God, I don't know why I'm here, and I would pray for them, and they would get healed. So understand, I already believed that I was that the kingdom of heaven was in me, and that I was a full-time minister. Didn't matter if I was welding. It didn't matter if I was doing other things. If you are looking for that place of release in your life, a full-time ministry, you first need to believe that you are a full-time minister. Amen. And whatever you do in word and deed, do it all to the glory of God. So I'm painting this picture because we often strive to get someplace when God says, I've already placed you in that place. And so we're gonna look at a few things in the Word. Why is it that God wants to demonstrate His power through you? Have you ever wondered? I mean, is it important for God to demonstrate His power through you? I mean, we can understand the Word. I'm going to give you some different concepts. You know, it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? But Jesus Christ took all of our sin so that His glory could be resting upon you. Isn't that good? And if His glory is resting upon you, He's going to release things through you that can break hopelessness. You know, the word that Pastor shared early when he started, you know, that he felt discouragement. And there was this wall of discouragement. And, you know, I was asking him during worship, is this something that might be a word of knowledge for the body of Christ? And I believe it is. And I believe discouragement of the past and the challenges and the things that are going on in life can be something that can hinder us. Do you remember the seeds of the kingdom were sown by a sower? He went out and he sowed seeds. Some fell on the wayside, and the birds of the air ate it up. And that's described as those who didn't have understanding. The seed of the kingdom was eaten and taken away. Never had a chance to grow because they didn't understand. Understanding is very important, and it is in the mind of Christ for us to understand. God wants us to understand much of what we don't understand. Why didn't that one get healed? Why did this happen? Why? You know, the whys. God wants to give us understanding. Not that we have all understanding. But when we ask for wisdom, let us ask of God, and He will give it generously to anyone without finding fault with you. He is not going to judge you because you don't have wisdom. You're going to ask Him, and He wants to just give you wisdom in the journey so that you can know Him in the journey. Isn't that important? It's so important so that the enemy can't steal the seeds away of the kingdom of God. I'm going to share some stories. I got so many stories, so many amazing healing stories, but God wants to send some folks into places where you never even imagined. I got a call from the sister that actually got healed of MS. I've been mentoring her for years, and she's now walks in healing. She sees all kinds of people healed over the years, and she's an amazing powerhouse in the Holy Ghost to release healing. But she called me one day. She says, I've got this neck issue. I don't know what's going on. And she says, it's just not going. And, you know, I usually don't get afflicted like this, but I can't seem to get a breakthrough on it. It's been about 3 weeks. So I thought I'd call, get some prayer on this. So I pray for her, and there's no breakthrough right away. And then I said, well, when did this start? And she said, well, you know, it happened actually a couple weeks ago. We had a church service. And this is in Queensbury, New York. She was in a church up in Queensbury, and up from us, down from you. But she was over in Queensbury, and she said that there was a conflict that came up in the church. The conflict in the church, her husband was involved in a little altercation, and there was all kinds of things that went on, and it was a lot of tension, and she said, ever since then, my neck's been kind of messed up. And the Lord says to me, there's a spirit of witchcraft working in the church. And we prayed over that. We blessed the church. We prayed for the church, interceded for the church, and she's instantly healed on the phone. I've seen hundreds of healings over the phone. Okay. So anyway, I said, well, so I said, you just need to go tell your pastor what's going on so that he has an awareness so that he can walk this out and maybe have a breakthrough. So I get a call from the pastor the next morning. He says, Todd, will you come and do a meeting? I said, I don't know. I don't think that the kingdom of God is advancing by an abundance of meetings. Okay? I don't really believe so. But I said, let me pray about it. So I prayed about it, and the Lord said, go and visit him on their Wednesday night when they're going to have a prayer time. And they're going to have a Bible study time. And just go and visit. They have a little dinner together. And so I called, I said, yeah, I'm going to come and just visit you. I'm not coming to minister. I'm just coming to visit you. We'll see what God does. So that was set up like 2 months down the road. And about a week and a half before this meeting, I'm questioning, God, are you sending us to this place? And do you want me to go and minister here? And I'm questioning. See, if I know God was sending me there, I know I have faith to do something. I know I have faith to bring breakthrough. So I'm like, are you really sending me there? And he says, well, Todd, I want you to text your friend Todd. His name's Todd. He says, text your friend Todd and ask him if you could come visit him. And I'm like, Lord, I got a meeting going on. I'm going to be doing a men's conference this weekend. I got this happening, that happening. I'm going to be speaking at a Russian church on Sunday. Lord, I want to go fishing. I said, God, I just want to go fishing. I got this all tied up a weekend, and I just wanted to get out fishing today. He says, text your friend Todd and see if you can come and see him. And I'm like, oh boy. I'm on the road, so I talk to Tex. I'm thinking, I'll get by his exit. God will say, do it next week. I'm pretty sure. So I talk to Tex. I say, Todd, I thought I would come and visit you sometime. And he goes, yeah, are you around today? Well, I'm like, oh, shoot. He says, well, actually, I'm not at my house. I'm at a friend's house. And it's just a neighboring town. And so I pull off on the exit, and he gives me directions, and I get to the house. And this is right after I'm asking God, are you really saying you want me to go to this church, that you have something for this church? And so I get there, it's a friend's house, and I recognize this fella. Now, it's kind of interesting. I heard the story of this fella. He had come from somewhere in New York, and he had come over to our church, and he had received healing prayer because he had a broken foot from a horse riding accident, and he had pain in his foot all the time. And when I prayed for him, he said, the screws have disappeared. The metal was gone. He couldn't find it. I didn't heard anything more other than he was doing much better and he was on his track, you know. So he walks in, he goes, yeah. He says, wow, I can't believe you're here. I said, I can't believe I'm here either. Thinking, I want to go fishing. So anyway, I'm like, okay, you know, well, I'm here. And he said, well, I got to tell you what happened. So he tells me about the story. He says, well, when they went to go and remove the screws, they had to drill them all out because the heads were gone, and it took them quite a process to get them out. He says, and I'm not seeking the supernatural realm anymore. Well, I said, it sounds like the supernatural realm's seeking you because I'm here today and I wanted to go fishing. and he says, I still have some pain in my foot. And I said, well, I'm not at liberty to pray for you. He goes, well, why not? I said, because you're not seeking the supernatural realm anymore. And so anyway, after a little while, he goes, well, you know, I guess, I said, I'd be willing to pray and ask God what he wants to do, but I'm not going to pray specifically for your foot or anything like that. And he goes, okay, I guess I could receive that. So I pray for him. Jesus, would you come? And he goes, oh, I knew that was going to happen. It's gone. The pain's gone. See, God is calling him into a supernatural dimension. And I said, so where were you from? He says, I was up in New York. I was in Queensbury, New York. Really? And he was coming from the same church in Queensbury, New York. Now I'm like, okay, now God wants to do something. So I went and visited this church on a Wednesday night, and I walk in, and the pastor's like, well, what do you want to do tonight? I said, I'm not here to do. I'm just here to be. See, once you know the love of God, you don't have to do, you can be. And in him, we live and move and have our being. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't have to do anything today. I'm just going to be here with you guys. I'm just going to see what God's doing. And I sit down at the table, and across from me is a man. And he starts spouting off. He says, the biggest problems in the church today are these people that believe in signs, wonders, and miracles. He doesn't know who I am. And I'm eating. I'm just eating. And he's rambling on. He went on for like 10 to 15 minutes. I had plenty of time to eat because I didn't have anything to say while he's talking, right? And so anyway, I'm getting done. And everybody around the tables, there's about 15 to 20 around that big table. And they were all looking, going, wonder what's going on. And they don't know who I am either. Only one that knew was Marcia, who had been healed of MS, and the pastor. And so anyway, I said, well, he got done talking eventually. I think he ran out of breath or figured he needed to eat. But I was done eating, so I said, well, can I share something? He goes, oh, sure. So I started sharing the good news of the kingdom and the power of God to set people free. And I started sharing the testimonies of Jesus and how God is healing people, delivering them, and he passes out on the table. Right like that. He's out. He was out completely. He couldn't lift his head up. He was out. I'm like, I said, Pastor, I guess it's time to do your meeting. He goes, no, just continue. So I continued, and I look around Marcia, and there's a woman right around her, and I said, oh, God wants to set you free from a torment that's been tormenting you since you were a little girl. And she says, that's right. And we get around her in the room, and I pray for her, and she's healed in her body. She's delivered of demons right there on the spot that had been afflicting her. I don't think they were demons that were inside of her. Okay, there are demons that afflict us inside our body, and they can happen in our soul realm. But these were things that were just a cloud over her, keeping her from knowing the love of God. And she got delivered, and then we had probably 8 or 9 people around the room that got healed. I hop in my car and go home. I get a call from the pastor the next morning. And he says, Todd, the people couldn't even leave last night. The presence was so strong on them, they couldn't even leave. And then when they finally did go, they couldn't sleep all night, and they called in on the prayer call, and they're like, we don't know what's going on. God was moving on them in power to open them up to the things of the kingdom. And we did a meeting there. And when I walked in to do the meeting, the man who passed out on the table, I ran to him. He walked in the room. I ran to him and hugged him. And I released the love of God on him. And he goes, oh, my God, neuropathy just left my feet. And he was healed completely with even follow-ups on that of neuropathy. God set him free. God had been working with the pastor to help him to become free of the witchcraft. He was the man that was bringing witchcraft into and control, domination, manipulation into the atmosphere. And God set him free. We had all kinds of amazing miracles there. So when I come, I'm coming because I know God wants to do something. It's not about another meeting. And he will do things in supernatural ways. A few weeks ago, you know, he wants to challenge us. You know, God wants to challenge you. A few weeks ago, I went to a Russian church A fellow that I've been mentoring for a number of years, he started this church. It's in a Methodist church. They house it in a Methodist church. And he said to me, he said, would you come and minister on our Saturday night meeting? And I said, and I, because I'm in relationship, I said, I will come and we'll see what God does. And when I walked in, I'm meeting people, but nobody speaks English. I'm like, this is going to be interesting. I mean, I have had it a few times where people have come into our meetings, they heard everything, even though they didn't speak a bit of English, and they could tell me through an interpreter what God had done through the meeting and what I had spoken on and all those other things. So these things will happen still, okay? But I'm like, okay, this is going to be challenging. So I meet the Methodist pastor and her husband who came, they were coming to the meeting, and I'm sharing some of the testimonies of Jesus. And I see them looking at each other, backing up, like, we want to get out of here. But they had committed to the meeting. So Alex introduces me. He says, this is my spiritual father. Now, I didn't know I was his spiritual father. I'm like, that's news to me. But he had been receiving from me for years, and he's come into so many breakthroughs, so many healings, and now he's moving in power to release the kingdom of God. And then he said, Todd's going to speak, but we need somebody to interpret because he doesn't speak much English. Okay, I can communicate with him. And so we found a woman, kind of like the couple loaves of bread and a couple fishes to feed 5,000, you know. She could speak English some, and she could speak Russian, okay? So she's now the interpreter. And God moved mightily in the weakness. You think your weakness is holding you back? I want to tell you, your weakness is actually the catalyst to see the demonstration of the Lord's power. And this is really important to understand because God wants to use those places of weakness. One of my weakest points is this. I have no ability to put a message together. That's one of my weaknesses. But I wait on the Lord, and in my weakness, He becomes my strength. I think I've had maybe 3 or 4 messages that the Lord put in before I got to a service that He said, I want you to do this today. And He showed me, and I had to put it down, and it was a line upon line thing. And He gave me the strength to do that. But when I'm in this room, I'm waiting for the Lord. I'm waiting for Him to see what He wants to do. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong for somebody to do it different ways, because everyone is different. You know, there's some amazing teachers that teach, and they can teach line upon line, and there's foundational things that need to get put in that way. And so, you know, we're so many members in the body of Christ, and we're all different, but yet we're all very, very much important to the workings of the church, okay? And so, you know, we have desires within us to be certain things, to do certain things, because we look at those things and go, that's what I want to be. But God has created you with His purposes. He will take those weak spots, like me, not being able to put a message together, and He will say, this will be the greatest strength you have, is that you rely on me and that I will release through you what I'm doing. I'm going to get into unpacking a little bit of that, too. I'm going to share with you a scripture that the Lord had me to bring out a couple weeks ago, and it just was ringing in me on the way up, and even as I woke at about 5 o'clock this morning. It's actually... find it here. It's in Exodus chapter 9. And I'm going to get to Exodus chapter 9. We understand Moses was sent to set captives free. Do you realize that God's called us all to be deliverers? To be deliverers, helping people to get free. Do you realize that there's a way in which people need to be able to release to get people free. So we're going to look at a little bit of this word. I'm just going to show a couple verses from within this chapter of Exodus, chapter 9. And the Lord said to Moses, verse 13, and the Lord said to Moses, get up early in the morning and confront Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says, let my people go so that they may worship me. That's a pretty powerful message. You know that people need to be let go. They have to get loose from the chains so that they can worship him. There's a move right now, and you know what? The worship, it opens up atmospheres, and just thank you, worship leaders. Can you just raise your hand where you are? I just thank you guys. Where's, right over here. There we go. I just thank you all, because God is moving. There's a move today that actually makes worship the catalyst for breakthrough. Now, there's truth in that. There's truth in that. But people that don't have breakthrough can't necessarily worship. I've seen it happen in amazing, powerful worship atmospheres where the demonic voices that are filling the person's mind and their heart and the breakdowns, they get fortified within realms of worship because they don't have the truth to worship in spirit and truth. And God is, you know, so the catalyst is good news. Worship helps to perpetuate that good news. When you're worshiping, you're singing songs of good news, okay? But we need to understand there's breakthrough. I've had so many breakthroughs in worship, but they come into the areas where I already have foundation. So he says to Moses here, he says, let my people go. He told him to tell the Pharaoh, so that my people may worship me. If you're having a hard time breaking through in worship, there's foundational truth that needs to be implanted so that you can worship him. Amen? You need to be set free of sometimes ties, things that are holding us captive. I'm going to skip down to verse 16. This is what God says to Moses, and I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power, and that my name might be proclaimed in all of the earth. What was the reason for power? So that Moses would see his power, that God's name would be proclaimed in all of the earth. Isn't that something? This is important revelation, because once we start to understand, God wants to move through you in power, not to elevate you, but so that you can proclaim his name. So his name can be proclaimed in power so that people's faith would not rest in the wisdom of men, but in his power. Is this important? So to say, well, you know, God doesn't really use me that way. Stop it. God does use us that way. The prayers that we did before we started upstairs, I didn't pray for anybody, and there was pain leaving bodies. Right? I didn't pray for them. I just taught a simple process to step in to start to be activated. See, I was just a welder and a building contractor. God said, go. And God didn't let me go anywhere to minister to anyone for the first 3.5 to 4 years of ministering within the church. Why? Because he didn't want my formulas to be released into settings, so it built on formula. So I would pray for people all week, and I'd see 4 people get healed one way. I mean, I had to have dreams meeting God and how to minister, and I would learn how to minister. And every day I had dreams like this. I'm like, oh, I wonder what God's going to do. And I had these dreams, and God was teaching me to minister. And then I would go to church and say, I saw you do it 5 times this way. This is going to be so fun. This is going to be so easy. And he wouldn't move. And I'm like, God, you're leaving me out here on a limb. Lord, I don't know. And it's humbling. The healing ministry, the deliverance ministry, the ministry of power is one of the most humbling places to be because we have to be in complete reliance upon God to do anything. And if we aren't in reliance upon God, we're reliance on what? Ourselves? Our own faith? Reliance on our own faith is called presumption. It does nothing to move God generally. Now, sometimes God will move because another person has faith to receive. Now I'm getting into a can of worms because faith. Oh. But God, I don't have faith. Or I think I have faith. I thought I had faith, but he didn't move. How many have run into that? I thought I had faith in a situation and God did not meet me. God did not meet the people. God did not do this. Have we dealt with this? Okay, this is a real thing. The truth is, I cannot produce faith. First thing we need to do is repent from thinking we can produce anything. I'm going to demonstrate that in a minute because it's going to be very important to understand that we cannot produce anything. I'm going to hit an area of our lives. And there's, have you ever had a hard time releasing forgiveness? Anybody, raise your hand up. If you've had a hard time releasing forgiveness, I'm going to show you and I'm going to demonstrate to you that we can produce nothing. We can't even produce forgiveness. This is really important. I'm going to share with you a story. A man came to me. He was a minister. He was he had like 13 different ministries. He was over in Connecticut, Massachusetts. And he called me because I had been in a setting, in a home setting, where over half the people in the room got healed through one word of knowledge. It opened up just a realm of glory. And these people got healed. And he's in a healing ministry. And he says, Todd, I just realized the authority was on you. And will you mentor me? I'm thinking, what do you mean, mentor you? You're doing a lot more than I am, it seems. And he says, no, he says, I'm struggling forgiving my father. He says, I walk through it, and I've taught people to forgive. I've led people to forgive. I've allowed, seen them come into healing because they forgave. But this thing just keeps coming up. Anybody relate? Okay, and I said, well, the first thing you need to do is repent from the thinking that you can forgive anybody of yourself. You're trying to produce forgiveness through a soulish realm of trying to do it. And he repented right at the table. I'm going to lead us in some of this. He repented right at the table for trying to produce what God gives freely. And he immediately received the love of God and he released as the one who is a vessel of truth, which is Jesus Christ in him, the hope of glory. And he released forgiveness toward his father. He went straight from there to his father who was in the hospital, and his father would always make him leave anytime he talked about Jesus, anytime he tried to bring up anything. But he tried just a few days before, his father kicked him out of the room. And he was dying, and he only had maybe a week or 2 weeks or a day or two to live, his father did. And when he went there, for the first time in his life, his father received him. His father received him so much, and he opened his heart, and he received Jesus. Their relationship was put back together. Their relationship was put back together, and they had now a fellowship within the realm of a father and a son, and God healed them. 3 days later, he drives up from Connecticut, and he says, I got to tell you what happened. My father went home to be with the Lord today in peace. And I needed to drive up from Connecticut, and I needed to tell you that God healed our relationship, and we were completely healed. And I had released forgiveness because it was from God. I'm going to share with you another story in this realm. I'll share a couple of them. I believe this is really important. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It will open up the gates for us to receive. It will open up the gates for us to be able to receive healing. We had a woman who had taken care of, grown up all of her children. Her ex-husband had just left, abandoned them. She worked very hard to serve, worked very hard to maintain it. Life was so difficult. And she was like in this place of, you know, torment over, you know, trying to forgive. And I led her in a simple prayer to start releasing the forgiveness of Jesus instead of the soul realm. I'm gonna deal with this deeper in a moment. And she comes into freedom. Her ex-husband wrote her a couple days later and said, "I'm so sorry I didn't support you and the kids." And this was a number of years ago, and he says, "I want to." The kids were all grown. He said, "I want to now support you fully until 2023," and that was like 7-8 years that he supplied all of her needs for 7 or 8 years. Amen? Because she was able to be a gate of forgiveness. See, we try to produce what God gives freely. We try to get people healed. We try to think it's our prayers. No, it's actually Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ, the anointed one. That's what the anointing is the Christ. It's not his last name, just to let you know. Jesus Christ. No, Jesus the Christ, the anointed one. Jesus the anointed one. And what God has done is he said, Christ is in you and he's the hope of glory. What does hope look like? It looks like people meeting the one of hope. And it says, and hope will not disappoint you. Hope is a fruit of the Spirit. We don't produce the fruit of the Spirit. We bear fruit. There's a big difference. We're out there trying to produce love, joy. I'm trying to get happy. No, and actually God says, no, actually let it flow out of you. Because this is who he is. This is who he is, and yet we live in a body. We live in a body. We're a spirit being. You realize that Christ, God said that you are seated with him in heavenly places. You know that, right? You understand the word of God is very clear on this. You are already seated with him in heavenly places. It says you're found in him before the foundation of the world. When you received Christ, when you came to believe that he was the only one who could pay for you, give you his life, what he did was he breathed into you eternity. And eternity is become part of your being within him. Amen? And so this isn't our work. We don't work for these things. We live abiding in this one who is life. What happens is we live, God's given us this piece of dirt to live in. Right? He's given us a piece of dirt to live in. Really, right? Out of the dust of the earth, the body was formed, right? And then he actually put a living soul in us, which is a mind, will, and emotions. It's this part, it's the same as a dog has when, you know, they think they need something, and they walk according to the flesh, and they will get that need met. It doesn't matter if they need it or not. You can put down a piece of meat, and they could have eaten everything they could, and they'll go, they got to eat it. I had Jeremy. Jeremy was our dog, and he was lightweight. He was a perfect picture of flesh. Jeremy. It was all about him. And it was, loyalty was out the window, unless you had something to produce loyalty in him, like food. Or you could put a shock collar on him, and he would be loyal with the shock collar. See, that's a kind of a picture of flesh. We have a picture of flesh. We have this realm of flesh, and really that's within this body-soul realm. The flesh can be defined as anything you do to meet your own need apart from God. That would be the best definition I've come up with flesh. It's anything you can do to produce your own need, to meet your own need apart from God. Well, the word is very clear that this flesh was circumcised. It was cut off, taken out of the way. Kind of interesting. And the word is sarx. It's flesh. So it's not our identity. We live in a body. I have a soul. It needs to get in order. Our souls need to get saved. Our mind, will, and emotions. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this is able to help us to prove what is the good, perfect, acceptable will of God. Amen? So we have to change our mind. We have to think differently and be transformed in our walk, in the way we produce life, the way we do life. But see, you are not a body. You have a body. You're seated with him in heavenly places. Is your body in heaven? No, but you are in heaven. See, this is very important. If we don't understand this, we start to take on false identities. So I feel like I'm not forgiving. If I feel like I'm not forgiving, there's something wrong with me. And now my identity becomes an unforgiving person. And if my identity becomes an unforgiving person, now I'm separate from God in my own mind. And if I'm separate from God in my own mind, why would I think I can release, lay hands on the sick and see them be healed? You see, these are very simple concepts. I am a spirit being, but our souls still need to be saved. We have a soul. We live in a body. This body, God will make new in the end. Okay, we're going to have a new glorified body. But right now, it's kind of a mess. Sometimes more than others, right? Why is this important? Because I believe there's folks in this room that are carrying false identities. Identities of the past abuse. That you view yourself as an abused person. A victim of your own mistakes. And I believe that that is ruling over some in the room. And that's keeping you quite possibly from being able to receive the healing that God gives freely. See, if I'm in my mind not right with God, and I'm working at it, striving at it, now I have to get myself right with God in order to be in a place where I can receive from God. And I want to say this foundation has to be sound. Years ago, I'm going to share this story. Years ago, I had a loud debate with my wife. Very loud debate. I was unkind, speaking to her the way I wouldn't minister to people. First couple of years of ministry, early on, and I was like, Lord, I went one way, she went the other way. We were at odds with each other. And I said, Lord, I need this issue of my soul dealt with. Because I was not ministering to my wife. I was not responding to my wife in a way that would be honoring in the way I would actually, who I am. See, I already knew that this was not my identity, but yet I was acting in a way that was contrary to who I was. And I said, Lord, I need that issue of my soul dealt with. And I trusted him. I believed God would deal with this issue of my soul. I did. I believed it. 3 days later, he says, well, after the Bible study you're going to do this morning, I want you to go to where your grandparents are buried and deal with that issue of your soul. And I said, and he says, unless you deal with this issue of your soul, you will not see the deaf ears open up. And I'm like, oh, you got my attention now. My grandparents were both deaf. My mom's folks. My mom grew up in a deaf family. And so I was driving there to the place where my grandparents were buried. I loved my grandparents. They were great people, people of God. Just they came to Jesus after I came to know the Lord. I was probably 13 years old, and they just became an example of the goodness of God, and the love of God. And I'm driving there, and God says, when you were a little boy, you felt shame when your grandmother would yell from the next door house because of the deaf voice, and it kind of freaked me out, and I felt shame over that. And I received that, and it started seeding inside my life because I had come into agreement with, oh, it's grandma, you know, it's just grandma, you know. And that shame got formed inside of me, and when I felt shame, I would attack my wife and shame her. And I thank the Lord for showing me this revelation of how this seeded in. It came in through family realms and different things. And I was like, thank you, Lord, for showing me this, because I didn't know what was going on. Why was I responding to my wife in the way I was responding to my wife? It's all soul realms. I need this issue of my soul dealt with. And he says, you're not done yet. I'm like, okay, what's next? He says, you need to go to where your great-grandparents are buried. I said, where's that? He says, up on the hill over there. I'm telling you, it was just as clear as this. I walk up on the hill and I turn, and there's where my great-grandparents were buried. And he says, there was a great deal of shame over your grandfather's deafness. And he showed me the picture, and I prayed, and I blessed the family line. That very day, my mom in Florida was set free of clouds that were over her whole life, trying to keep her from God. I didn't go and break curses, I blessed. There's a lot of focus on trying to break curses. That's focusing on the enemy instead of the goodness of God to set people free. Amen? You don't have to walk down these curse lines. You can go, Jesus, I'm going to bless. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who despitefully use you. And understand it's the power of God to bring freedom. My wife and I have never had a time where we couldn't walk through something. And that was a common occurrence before that point. Because I was set free of shame. And when I felt it, I still felt stuff sometimes. But now I understood. Now I could walk through it. Now I could walk out the truth instead of being caught in a snare of a pattern in my life that was causing destruction. That's called a stronghold. It's called an imagination. It's called a high thing that sets itself against the knowledge of God. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God in the pulling down of these strongholds. Amen? Now I'm going to bring this into an application, and then I'm going to go on with a few things, because I believe that right now there's places, you know, we've struggled with this realm of forgiveness. I'm going to have us just stand up together for a moment, and what I want to do is I want to focus on the Christ. If you don't know Jesus today, this is a good time to receive him too. Because he loves you, he died for you, he paid for you, and he took all of your sins. He's already paid it all on your behalf, if you don't know that. If you are a believer in Jesus and you've been living under this place of trying to forgive, it's quite likely you've been trying to produce the very thing that God gives freely. So what I want to do is I want to lead you in a simple prayer. As I've shared these things, you are a spirit being. You live in a body that has a soul realm. We need to get our souls clear of all of that work to try to produce. You can't lay hands on the sick if it's about you producing. It's not going to help you. Not going to help anybody. It will just discourage people from getting healed. So say, Jesus, I welcome you as the healer. I welcome you as the forgiver. Thank you, Lord, that you gave me your life. And all forgiveness is in you. Lord, I right now receive your forgiveness for every failure. Every weakness. Every blatant sin. Things that I've just taken my eyes off you. And Lord, I thank you. I ask you to cleanse my body right now. In Jesus' name. Okay, first, that's the first step. What I'm going to do now is we're going to hold our hands out like this. Because see, the Bible says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, that the King of glory would come in. Do you realize that you now have just confessed Jesus Christ as the Lord, the forgiver, the one who releases forgiveness? And now, all of a sudden, now we have the ability to release forgiveness, not through your soul realm. You come into agreement with it, but this is about Christ in you that's the hope of glory. Like I said, you can produce nothing, not even forgiveness can you produce, but yet you obtain everything through the person of Jesus. You have the fullness of forgiveness inside of you, and we're going to release forgiveness corporately to those that need to receive the forgiveness that comes. If you've been working at it, praise God. And if you're tired and worn out of working at it, you're ready to repent and say, Lord Jesus, I've been trying to produce forgiveness for a long time. Say that. And Lord, now I realize it's about you. And I'm going to release your forgiveness. to those who have hurt me. Wow, you can just put it in your mind, the ones that need release right now, the abusers, those who have spoken against you, those who have been, it's like they've stabbed you in the back. Some are actually in pain in their bodies, and it's like you've been stabbed in the back, and we just right now, thank you, Lord. Wow, you know who they are. You know where it's been challenging. Lord, we release your forgiveness. Say that. Say, Jesus, I release your forgiveness. Glory to God. Wow, let the glory of God flow through you. This is a by faith thing. This is about Him. This isn't about you and what you can produce. You're just a vessel of honor to release the kingdom of God. See, whatever's forgiven on earth will be forgiven in heaven. Isn't that amazing? Wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for opening the gates of heaven right now over those relational challenges. Thank you for opening over the kingdom of heaven toward the financial challenges, toward the body pain challenges right now, even starting a process of releasing your healing and your power in Jesus' name. Let your glory come, Lord Jesus. Wow. Be a gate. Say, I'm a gate of forgiveness. This is from you, Lord, and I acknowledge you. Wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Lord Jesus, cleanse me of what I've tried to produce. Let me experience your glory. There we go. There's Spirit of God's moving on some in the room right now. There's an open gate being released. Lord, over those who have actually spoken against this congregation, in the name of Jesus, we release forgiveness right now in the name of Jesus. And we bless those who have cursed this place in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Let your power and your glory come, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to our podcast here at Life in Christ Fellowship in Newport, Vermont. We hope that you have enjoyed this message, and we encourage you to hit that subscribe button to continue updates on future messages each week. Feel free to share these messages of encouragement and edification to others.